pay $5 a month that bad.
If we wanted to, we could introduce like a higher level tier where you could pay much more a month to be able to call us bitches to our face at least once. But we're not gonna do that.
We're not gonna do that?
Okay, if we do that, it's an OnlyFans situation.
Spit on my face and tell me you don't like episode 9. Okay, what?
Hey girl, hey. How are you?
I'm fan-fucking-tastic. I'm getting over being sick. I've had a hell of a week. I haven't gotten any in a week. I'm disintegrating, actually.
So this is a really good episode for us to be talking about what we're talking about, because like you're not doing great. Like your state is, the planet is trying to wash your entire state off of the continent and into the ocean.
Oh, appreciate. So well, actually, that. I mean, it needs a bath, really.
Well, it's rinsing entire mountainsides off of it right now, and I feel like that's actually a bad thing.
So I really need to call out something.
Oh.
About that, like, okay.
Oh,
the
shit.
The news is really sensationalizing shit. Like, in a neighborhood of 500,000 houses, one got mudslided. Like, ratio-wise,
mudslid?
One got taken out by the earth.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, okay, that's not that bad of a ratio.
That's actually pretty great. That's a success.
Yeah. Like, quite frankly, in the state of Texas, when we had one of those really horrible hailstorms,
mm-hmm.
I had way more houses in one neighborhood get taken out with the hailstorm, you know?
Well, yeah, with the last ice apocalypse that I had to sit through in Texas, we had trees explode.
Right.
Because these big old live oak trees were not built for, you know, freezing. And so people's homes and cars and stuff all over my neighborhood, like every other house had damage because of exploding trees. So that's actually a pretty great ratio.
That's what I'm saying. So, yeah, yes, there has been damage. Yes, some people have lost their homes. Unfortunately, we've had a couple deaths here and there.
Right.
But considering the number of people, houses, et cetera, it's really not that bad.
Considering how population dense your entire state is.
Right. Like, we're overpopulated, so Mother Nature is taking care of that for us, you know?
Yikes. where are we going with this? Why are we talking about... Oh, okay. So Chris is having a shitty week because of nature and because of illness and because of all of those things. For me, it's Shark Week.
Oh, God.
Yes, girl. So there's just a delightful, perfect storm of things that should make us be incredibly bitchy about this episode. But I think the content is so goddamn delightful. I think we're going to be okay.
No, we'll be fine.
We're fine. Hey, do we want a programming note then intro or intro then programming note?
Let's do intro first.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Dark Side Divas, the podcast where a woman and a gay man express their opinions about Star Wars. My name is Stephanie. I'm the woman half of the show. And
we can't pay the trademark on that.
Sorry, Spielberg. Sorry.
And hey, everybody. I'm Chris. I'm that homo. These episodes may be short, but nothing about me is sexual. Are you okay?
I'm okay.
Are you gonna die?
I don't know why I take a sip of a beverage when you do your intro. It's fucking, I'm trying to aspirate over here. Will you go on, please?
Well, anyways, besides, I'm just trying to open her up.
Look, I get why you picked it, but Ezra said it, and now it's you.
He said it to a TIE fighter, which is an adult.
But he's not an adult.
I had this debate yesterday. I'm like, this is literally the only line I could use. Besides whatever the fuck, whatever vulgarity Chopper, because it's all vulgar. Chopper is
wall to wall.
Fuck this, fuck that, fuck you, fuck that.
Fuck y'all, fuck this, fuck your stupid loving faces. Yeah, the whole thing. Okay. So before we get into the Star Wars of it all today, we have a quick programming note for everybody. So not everybody who listens to this podcast, Dark Side Divas, also listens to our other podcast, Marvelous Divas. Mm-hmm. But for those of you who do, quick heads up, we will talk more about this in depth when on the Marvelous Divas episode that's being released this week. But just so you're aware, this next episode of Marvelous Divas that covers the season finale of Loki season 1 will be our last episode of Marvelous Divas for the foreseeable future. Do you have anything to add, Chris?
No, you got it. That's it.
Okay, cool. So keep an eye on Dark Side Divas social media and stuff. There will be news coming out soon about what our next podcast project will be.
And I personally cannot wait to talk about Gilmore Girls. And,
shut up. That's not what it's going to be. Just no. FYI.
And you know, what's kind of sad is it would have been our 2-year anniversary of Marvelous Divas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But needs must, and the situation is what it is. We didn't do this. Marvel did. Anyway.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. But also, we're not going to stick just doing one podcast, y'all. We're going to launch a different podcast, but we're not going to talk about that.
Do you want to go ahead and say what we're going to do?
I mean, we can.
Okay. I didn't know if you wanted to be like, play it like all sexy and coy and like tune in and there'll be updates, or if you want to just go ahead and fucking whip your out on them here and tell them what it is, but you do.
Look,
you.
Steph, look, it's been a week. My judgment is skewed. We do record these podcast episodes live. If you're a patron, you can access it and watch the chaos unfold. Wes says in chat, I'm so excited about the next generation of podcasts.
Hey, I see what you did there, Wes. Hey. So yeah, go ahead and tell them. Go ahead and tell them what the next thing's going to be.
Yeah, we're going to go boldly go where no person has gone before. We're going to be talking about Star Trek.
It is true.
And for those of y'all that know us really well, you'll probably be the least surprised person in the world. But when we were talking about doing a second podcast, it really was a coin flip between Marvel and Star Trek, and mm-hmm. we decided to go with Marvel, which I do not regret. I love the journey.
85 fun-filled episodes and some rage-filled ones as well.
And a lot of rage-filled ones, actually. I mean, Marvelous Divas, for some reason, we got even angrier on that podcast, but I also had a lot of good times, a lot of laughs. We'll talk more about it on Marvelous Divas, but we did, I had a long, drawn-out emotional process, and I actually talked about it with my therapist. That's how kind of sad it was.
Therapist is for, dude.
I know. Well, my poor therapist, she's like, okay, what Star Wars show is on now? You know, it's like, it's like, don't you want to talk about your trauma and your pain? And no. I'm like, this is my trauma. This is my pain.
We already talked about the baseline shit. The current events are Obi-Wan Kenobi show. Okay.
Right, right.
Fuck.
So I do have an important announcement. Adrienne has in her chat, Percy Jackson Divas. I finally saw an episode of Percy Jackson. And you know what? Yeah? You know what? I liked it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Did you like it because Edge is in it?
I did not know Edge was in it until I saw a promo. I was like, fucking Edge is in it? I'm going to mm-hmm. watch it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's how you get Chris involved with anything, y'all. Cast a wrestler.
He's a good actor. Like, I remember him.
I love his face. I want to
see. Have you seen him in Vikings?
Hmm? He's in Vikings?
Yes. Huh. I mean, I'm shocked that you didn't.
I've only watched Vikings up to a certain point because, it's so.
I thought that'd be your show.
It was up to a certain point. And then I'm just like, y'all stress me out. The Sons of Ragnar Lothbrok stress me out. I can't.
Oh, okay.
And also, Lagatha been done wrong so many times.
Well, we'll see.
Okay. You brought it up. All right, all right, all right. So, getting back on track here. Yes, we are ending Marvelous Divas. Yes, we are going to be starting a Star Trek podcast. Keep an eye on socials. And here, we will let you know the progress on that. It probably won't be until March. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Chris is fleeing the country for a while.
I'm going back to Paris and
Gay Perry.
So my boss was so funny. He was like, "So Chris, you have like, you know, 2 days to yourself because to unjet lag and, you know," and he was
to
starting
rest.
To and well, cause jet lag sucks. He was like, you know, I was thinking like if you wanted to hang out, we could do this and that, and like he stopped midway. And he's like, what am I talking about right now? And I'm like, why did you just suddenly stop? He's like, I know what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you mean? How do you know me? You don't know me. And he's like, you probably already bought your ticket to Disneyland Paris. And I literally had purchased my ticket to Disneyland Paris before my meeting with him. And I'm like, so, you know.
You don't know me like that. Except he does. He does know you like that. Everybody knows you. The people listening to this podcast know you like that.
It's snow covered right now. Like, how amazing is that to go to a Disney park and see a castle snow covered, to eat croissants on Main Street?
Croissants. Yeah? Is that what they're called?
No.
Do the French like it when you order it by saying croissant?
I let them order for me.
That's what you do. Yeah, so snow, I have learned by living in Colorado now, apparently here in February, it's still winter. Snow, I have learned, is pretty and charming for about a day.
Oh, yeah.
No. And then it gets dirty. Yeah. And it's not pretty anymore. No. And it's just everywhere and it's partially frozen and it's slippery and fuck this. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, would we like to get into why we're here today or do you have more to talk about?
I do have one more thing to talk about.
Okay. Oh,
we have to talk about some tragic news, actually.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Because Carl Weathers passed away. Yeah. Yeah. So, Carl Weathers, who's actually, you know, I always talk to people, don't meet celebrities, don't meet people you like. I was fortunate enough to, I didn't meet him. I was in a room with him and I saw how he treated people. Such a nice man. So funny. I got to see him on stage. I think he was promoting the Arrested Development comeback. I don't remember why he was at South by, but he was there to promote a show. And so charming, so nice. I love him and Rocky. Predator is still in my top five favorite.
Oh, right.
And then, of course, the work he did on Mandalorian. So, you know, rest in power, sir. You will be missed. I loved him.
Mm-hmm. I've been following him on social media for a while, and he would sign off every tweet with "Be peace." So, be peace.
Yeah,
be peace. He will be missed.
And then, Steph, did you know that you can just randomly sue Disney if you think that you've been unfairly fired, even though you weren't fired? Your contract.
You can try. This bitch.
You know what? So what's her fuck chick that plays Cara Dune? She's suing Disney, apparently. And Elon Musk is paying for it. I'm like, go ahead and waste his money. Go right ahead.
Right. Because, like, there are so many good things he could be doing with his babillions. But he's not. He's not going to do good things. He's going to do stupid, horrible, wasteful, world-damaging things. Go ahead and siphon off some of his cash for your frivolous-ass lawsuit that's not going to go anywhere. That's fine. She breached contract. That's why she doesn't work for the mouse anymore. Also, she's a right-wing nut job transphobe. Openly transphobic. And so, but I believe that's why this lawsuit is coming. They want to be able to push this up and up the courts because they desperately want to be able to make a case that you cannot discriminate against right-wing nut job bigotry. And so that's what this is. That's what this is about. She's suing because she feels she was discriminated against for her views. And that is not what the mouse did, but there should be consequences. The First Amendment does not protect you from your boss being upset about what you say. Protects you from the government being upset about what you say.
Yeah.
So.
Oops.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to Elon Musk wasting a lot of money and her getting a lot of negative publicity because...
Oh, he's in a transphobe. He is circling the drain.
I love it when bad things happen to billionaires. Shall we get into why we're here today?
Let's do it.
All right. So what we're doing on this podcast is we're watching through the entire Star Wars visual story in chronological order, which means that we started with episode one, The Phantom Menace, and have been boldly going. No, that's the other thing. Do we need a verb? Verbing forward through time since then. And we find ourselves today talking about Rebels. However, we did just finish Rebels season one. So today, we are going to be talking about the Star Wars Rebels shorts.
What?
Yeah. I don't know if you have an intro for these.
I do.
Okay, cool.
It's a little meta.
Get it.
Shorts.
Ooh.
Stefan Crist, host of Dark Side Divas, totally forgot there were four animated shorts that made their debut on the Disney Channel before the official launch of the Rebels show.
It's true.
Will the Divas enjoy these short episodes? And what hints at our character stories can we glean from these two-minute stories?
Ba-ba-ba-bum.
Hashtag two dumb bitches with microphones.
Yeah. I had actually never seen the shorts because I was not watching Disney XD at the time that Rebels came out. I actually didn't start watching Rebels until it was already over. So
yeah, right. Yeah. I know I caught a couple episodes, but some it's so easy to forget that there was an era where there was no streaming platforms. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a chance to go back and watch the rest of it until it was on streaming. I think wasn't Rebels on Netflix for a little bit or Hulu? It was on one of those.
That was
two.
Later in its life, but
yeah.
But at the time in 2014, when the show was first coming out, it was on the Disney Channel. Mm-hmm. So these little short episodes were released to introduce kids and, you know, all viewers to the characters of this new show, and also to introduce them to the animation style. These shorts were the first time we're seeing these characters, seeing their dynamic, and seeing what the new Star Wars show looks like.
So. Yeah, and so I have to go all the way to the end to my last note. Boy, we really should have talked about these before we got to the show.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Now, I did notice the I don't know if you want to call it the camera work, but there was a lot more camera movement in these episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do some, like, production research and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
They did get to spend a little bit more time on these four episodes than they normally would have on a full episode.
Mm-hmm.
So they did a little bit more movement with the camera and stuff like that than they normally would. They knew these were commercials. They knew that this was their best shot at getting eyes on the show.
Right.
Because, again, social media was not as big as it used to be now, is today. Disney Channel's commercial style was kind of lacking. It was really hard to get the word out. They didn't do a lot of for season one Rebels, they didn't do a whole lot of promotion with it outside of the Disney Channel ecosystem. And of course, Star Wars fans were excited. They were going to watch it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, they needed a bigger audience for the show than just us nerds. So, you know, that this was but I thought this was a great idea. Like, watching these episodes, I was like, genius.
Because they established so much.
Right.
Not just about the characters, but, like, you get a feel for the layout of the ghost.
Yeah.
And stuff, because this is a new style of freighter that we have not seen before. So you get a feel for, like, how that's laid. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Okay. Are we ready to get into the episodes?
I'm ready.
All right.
Be so quick.
The first one is called The Machine in the Ghost. Because get it? It's like Ghost in the Machine, but it's The Machine in the Ghost. Get it? Anyway, so I read this title and it says in my notes, oh no, oh god, oh no, Chopper gets his own episode.
Yeah.
Oh shit. So we open the episode with the ghost is being chased by Imperials. Let's just go ahead and set the tone for the entire series right now.
That's pretty much what the show's about. Getting chased by the Empire.
Hera is piloting the ghost, and she is politely ordering Kanan to get the fuck back on the gun and start blowing TIE fighters off the face of the galaxy, please and thank you, for fuck's sake. And so we immediately get the who's in charge of what dynamic between Hera and Kanan, which I like quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because Kanan sasses her back and is like, oh my god, it's not like you gave me any warning about this. And she's like, this whole heist was your idea. And he says,
well, it made sense at the time.
Fucking Jedi.
And I really feel like that should be engraved somewhere on the ghost's hull.
Yeah.
It made sense at the time. Yeah.
Yeah, that is literally the mission statement of the ghost crew.
Yep. Anyway, they get hit. Oh no, shields are down. And Hera tells Chopper to fix the shields. And this, if y'all have ever played a Star Wars D20 game, that's the droid's job during space combat.
Yeah.
Fix the shields, fix whatever system gets hit.
Yeah.
That's your job. So, there you go.
But what they don't think about is where these systems are placed. So if, like, say, the shield system goes down and then the comms go down, you have to start moving around the whole ship, and that's really stressful.
And, like, I love the ghost. I think it's a wonderful ship. But what the fuck kind of design is this? With the comms are apparently at the ass end of the ship. They're somewhere else. They're not in the cockpit.
Right.
Like, what? Anyway, because they do get hit again, and now the internal comms are down, and Hera can't keep harassing Kanan over the comms, and so she needs Chopper to go fix that. And he's like, I am in the middle of fixing the goddamn shields. Mm-hmm, and she's mm-hmm. like, I know, now go fix the comms so I can keep yelling at Kanan, or so we can coordinate the attack. And I'm like, y'all, just open the doors and yell down the hall like the Millennium Falcon crew.
Right,
do.
Right.
Like, he's not that far away. Because we do get to see the layout of the Ghost is, you know, you got the cockpit, you go out the door of the cockpit, you go back about halfway down the ship, and there's a ladder.
Yeah.
And that goes up to the top turret.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if Han can yell at Luke to don't get cocky, Hera right. could certainly do the same thing.
Exactly. Like, just open the doors and start. They're both loud.
Oh, my God.
It's not like it wouldn't work. Anyway, and I feel like that's what Chopper's like, why don't you just fucking yell at it? You know what? Never mind. Fine. Go. And Hera actually says to Chopper,
now go before I pull your battery.
Wow.
Hera!
It's like, now, is that like the equivalent of go before I kill you? It's like, wow,
I
that's
fucking
really mean.
Kill you before yeah. I put you in a coma? Yeah. So Chopper, bless his little droidy heart, bangs his head on the console a few times and then fucking rolls off back to go fix the comms and stuff. And she's like, and while you're back there, tell Kanan to please hit something. Now, I'd notice there is zero hint whatsoever in this episode that Kanan is a Jedi.
Right.
He's just a scoundrel in this, and I love that, because that was the big reveal in the pilot.
I love that, too. So Chopper rolls underneath Kanan.
Girl.
Steph.
Uh-huh.
You know, 50% of my notes consist of this one shot, so
Being
I would
on
like
the bad timing sexiness, yes?
I don't know if it's bad timing. Well, I guess
I think
it is
it's bad
during
timing.
A fight.
They're in the middle of
a fight. Dave Filoni, thank you.
Yes. So this is actually a shot we have not seen since. And I think because they realized maybe we shouldn't have this shot in a children's show. Because Chopper rolls up to the ladder and looks up the ladder to the top turret. And so we're getting a shot straight up Kanan's crotch.
Like, sir, please sit on my face. Well,
right. And he's looking down. And so we get this wonderful imagery of what it would be like to be at that angle. Under Kanan Jarrus.
Addendum. Cut the ponytail off, then sit on my face. That would be nice.
I think at this point he needs to keep the ponytail just to keep the hair out of his face. So you either take him to get a professional haircut.
Fine.
Okay. Because look, he's going to cut his own hair later, and it's not an upgrade. Okay?
We'll get there. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, but what I do like about this when I'm not living in Kanan's pants, is the way you can see how the turret moves.
Right.
Up there. That was really cool. Anyway, Chopper conveys the would you fucking hit something message from Hera, and Kanan's like, aren't you fixing the shields? Right now. And Chopper clearly says, well, no, I fucking was, but now I'm fucking fixing the comms. Mm-mm. And Kanan says,
I don't need to talk to Captain Hera right now.
Oh my God.
Go back and fix the shields. Oh, and when you see Hera, tell her to fly better. Good.
And
good.
I have in my notes, oh no, she better don't.
And like, this is very much the parents making the child convey messages back and
yeah,
forth.
Yeah.
Poor Chopper. So Chopper rolls back into the cockpit and tells Hera, and she's like, oh yeah, oh yeah, fly better, barrel roll, motherfucker. And mm-hmm. so she's flipping all over the place. And Chopper gets flung around, and she flips the ship around and says, I gotta do everything myself, and shoots a TIE fighter down. And I love that for her. Because this is 100% me, okay? Okay? Let me give you some insight into what it's like to live with me. If I ask that something be done, and then that thing is not done within a reasonable time frame, I'll do it myself. And I'll be mad. And I will stomp around. And I will say things like, I guess I gotta do everything myself. And this is for anything. This is from fucking scrubbing toilets, picking up trash. It doesn't matter. Like, I will do it myself because it needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And now everybody's in trouble. So that's where Hera's at right now. And I feel her.
Yeah. Steph will even get randomly mad at me because she has to edit these podcasts. And she's like, God.
Because you make my job harder. God damn it. It's not randomly mad. It's because you put a carbonated beverage next to your microphone mad. That's not random.
See, I just triggered her, so now she's mad at me. And I haven't even done it yet.
You actually haven't done that in like over a year. I'm still mad. I'm never letting it go.
You know, that's one of our most popular YouTube videos, by the way.
I hate you. Anyway, so there's one TIE fighter left, and Hera's like, Kanan should be able to handle a lone TIE fighter all by himself. And she's like, tell him, go tell Kanan that he should be able to handle it. Chopper throws a legitimate hissy fit.
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
I feel that, Chopper. The people in my life who don't like to be ordered back and forth to convey messages also throw hissy fits. I may have given birth to them. But what they don't have is a wheel that they can just kick up their feet and roll away on.
Yeah.
Which is what Chopper does there. So that's cute. anyway, I don't know. Chopper does some more cussing. He is rolling back there. He rolls right past the turret, does not convey a message to Kanan at all. He goes straight to the tail gun because, hey, there's a tail gun.
Well, it's not a tail gun. It's the Phantom that's docked.
Oh, is
the
it the
back.
Phantom? Is that
yeah,
what it was?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And part of me was like, is Chopper just going to get in the ship and fly away? Because at this point, I'm not blaming him at all.
He's going to run away. God.
Mom and Dad are so mean. Mom and Dad are so mean. I'm running away. There's a TIE fighter there, so maybe that's not such a good idea.
Right. But he uses the weapons on, apparently, the Phantom to shoot down the last TIE fighter. And then he does a little celebration.
Yep.
I love that for him. He rolls back to the cockpit, just in time to hear Hera congratulating Kanan on his good shooting, and they're about to smooch.
And it's the first sign that they're together.
Right, other than her calling Kanan love earlier in the episode. And this is actually the closest we've gotten to romantical contact other than hugging.
I know.
For these two. Like, we don't see it at all throughout season one. So that'll be interesting and something to keep looking out for. Anyway, Chopper's like, what the fuck? He didn't do that. I did the shooting. That was me. And Hera's like, I know. We know. We know it was you. Good job. Now go fix the comms and the shields.
And Chopper's like, fuck y'all.
And they both go, what was that? And canonically, Chopper is in fact cussing them out. And I love it. I love it. And that's it. That's the end of the first short. And that took us 30 minutes to talk about. We're ridiculous. Anyway.
Steph, so this could be a short episode. I'm like,
Yeah, have you met us? Yeah.
I blame that shot of Kanan up on the... Can we discuss that further? Because...
I don't think we need to. I think...
Are best left unsaid.
I think the screenshots I took are sufficient.
I think my desktop picture is enough.
Oh, fan art. Anyway, shall we move on to the next one?
Art Attack.
So in this short, we open in a nighttime scene on Lothal. A stormtrooper is doing a quick police brutality on a rando, like you do. The shot moves to show that there is a Mandalorian in shockingly colorful armor hanging out on a rooftop nearby. And she's like, dun, 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 sneaking around in the shadows. And I love that we get the classic 70s, like dreamy adventurer sneaky music.
Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of when Obi-Wan is sneaking around on the Death Star in A New Hope.
So I was going to say that for all these episodes is that the music they use are the same compositions, all Kevin Kleiner music, by the way. But they're all music that closely relates to the New Hope music that all the music is inspired by, or in fact, sometimes even copied. So, and yes, I did check liner notes for all the soundtracks. They do give John Williams all the credit in the world.
Nice.
But there's just like little differences in the melody that make it enough where Kevin Kleiner also gets credit. But no, they intentionally used all the music they could that would get people to recognize the fact that this is a original trilogy era show.
Yeah.
And the music is a big part of that. Music is such a big part of Star Wars that
it's huge.
It's huge.
It's really cool. Like, it took me straight there, straight to A New Hope, with this little musical motif following this mysterious, colorful Mandalorian around in the shadows. And she's sneaking around. She gets on the comms, and she says, Spectre 5 to Ghost. And Hera, who we've already met, answers, and is like, we're in position. We are waiting for your diversion. And our Mandalorian girl goes, copy that. This is going to be fun. And we get a shot of a base in the middle of the Lothal Prairie full of parked TIE fighters. Gosh, it looks familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, we just talked about that same base in the finale. So does the Empire not think that they need to move? Like,
and you know,
there is no security on this fucking place. See,
well, they have a couple of stormtroopers. And they're like so good at their job.
Like, the wall is like 4 feet tall. I could hop over it.
Right. You could step over it. And it's just right over there. And it's like, this isn't the middle of the prairie. It's like right outside Lothal City, clearly, right, because there are random citizens nearby. Anyway, we got a couple of stormtroopers. They're patrolling, doing their security job like you do. And you hear like spritzy, spritzy spray noises nearby. And they're like, did you hear that? They go and turn a corner around a TIE fighter's wing and find the colorful Mandalorian is spray painting a purple Phoenix logo onto a TIE fighter.
Huh.
And they say,
what do you think you're doing?
What does it look like? Art.
Duh.
And she's like, and the stormtroopers are like, stand down or we'll shoot. And she goes, okay, shoot. Mm. So the troopers exchange a look with each other, turn back to shoot her. She's gone. And now the chase is on. And so this really, like, if we had watched these before, we would have been able to comment in our coverage of the season finale last time, how this is a full circle moment for Sabine.
Yeah.
Because it's the same guy. She's doing the same thing. She's taunting them. She's arting all over the place. She's doing the whole thing. These are literally, it's the same troopers. When you hear one of them calls himself TK-626, he calls in and says there's an intruder on site. It's the same trooper. So he's the same guy that says, the artist is back in episode 15.
I love that. I love that.
Yep. Anyway, she's taunting them. She's behind them. She's in front of them. She's around. They're shooting. They miss. It's a whole thing. And she tells them,
you guys are too predictable. Always buy the book. I read your book. It's a short one.
And that's funny. And that's like calling troopers stupid, but also a hint as to Sabine's perhaps possible past Imperial education.
Interesting.
Intrigued.
I love when the trooper is calling in, we need reinforcements, we need help, blah, blah, blah. There's a Mando.
Right. Says,
one intruder in Mando gear, still at large.
This is the first time, I didn't realize that we had ever heard the term Mando prior to The Mandalorian.
Well, there we are.
I didn't
know that either.
I don't remember it ever being mentioned in Rebels. I feel like Mando is like a term that they use in production when referring as a nickname for Mandalorian stuff, and it leaked into the script, and then it became a whole fucking thing in Mandalorian. So, but that was really cool. That was really interesting to hear.
Yeah.
So the troops split up because some more reinforcements arrived. They split up their search. They want to capture her alive. Okay. And so Sabine goes back to add more paint to her original paint job. By the way, that's Sabine. Anyway, I give up on the mystery. It's Sabine. And the two troopers run up on her, and one of them says,
heads up, you rebel scum.
I would like to introduce a new counter to the show.
What?
The rebel scum counter.
What? We've never done that before?
We've never heard as far as I recall. Our patrons in the chat may have a different perspective, but I've slept since then, and I'm old. But as far as I know, this is the first time we have heard somebody refer to a rebel as rebel scum.
Well, you have spoken.
I have. It's my podcast, damn it.
Rebel scum ding. Counter. Wow. Okay.
Ding. Anyway, she hits him and gets away. And so the troopers, like, she scampers off and they turn, but then they hear a beeping from behind them. They turn back around. There is an explosive device set on the paint.
Of course
there
is.
On this TIE fighter. Of course there is. It goes boom, ding on the Sabine blow shit up counter.
And I'm like, oh my God, she just like murdered everybody.
Right, exactly. And you hear Hera on the comms go, good job. We see the explosion from here. And she says,
forget the explosion. Look at the color.
And she takes her helmet off and we get our first look at her very pretty face. But yeah, she set that explosive to spray paint everywhere. The troopers are all painted blue.
Yeah, they're not dead. They're not dead.
And also very colorful smoke.
I love it.
Spitting up into the air. Love that. Sabine walks away from this whole scene and gets thanked by the locals on her way by.
Aww.
Ta-da! She's a local hero. Good for her. Love it. Love that for her. Anyway, so that's the second one. Hey, you want to talk about the third short?
Oh, I sure do.
Y'all gotta go to Disney Plus and watch these. They're
I was like, okay, they're 4 minutes long. Okay, let's do this. And then
they're
like,
not even 4 minutes. Half of that the is credits, minutes.
The credits are longer than the episodes. Like right? More people worked on the shorts than the actual story. So
right,
it's funny. Yeah. So the next episode is Entanglement, and we're back in Lothal, downtown Lothal, and we see my boyfriend Zeb.
Oh,
he's walking through the alleyways, and he's on the walkie-talkie communication thingy. And just a quick reminder, they have the little white ones that you see in A New Hope. Yeah, so they're
little knobby ones. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're trying to match the aesthetic of the original trilogy in like all these different subtle ways, and I love it. So Zeb is clearly calling Kanan, and he's like, "Hey, so I'm at the rendezvous point." And Kanan's like, "No, I'm at the rendezvous point. Where are you?" And Zeb's like, "Well, I'm in the alleyway." And I'm like, "Wow, this is what it's like to be at Folsom Street Festival."
There
by the way.
It is.
Yeah, yeah.
Boom. it always comes back to gay sex.
It does. It does. As it should.
Because of who we are as people, but we're not a queer podcast.
It's been a week.
Anyway, Zeb does point out in his own defense, there's a lot of alleys in this town, and that's fair. There's a lot of alleys in this town.
Same.
Yeah. Meanwhile, while he's on the phone with Kanan, he's watching two stormtroopers harass an Ugnaught who's just trying to fucking sell some fruit. And the stormtroopers kick the droid over, and the Ugnaught like offers some money to make them go away. And they're like, "Oh, now you tried to bribe us. Now you're under arrest." And then we watch the sexiest shit.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine this being your first exposure to it? A large purple paw comes out of nowhere and palms a stormtrooper's entire helmet like a basketball.
And lifts him up into the air like it's nothing.
No, dear. He reaches over and grabs the other one's helmet,
too. Oh, that's right, that's right.
Cracks them together like coconuts. Ding on the Zeb hits a motherfucker with another motherfucker counter. Fucking love it. And then the Ugnaught is like, oh. Like, the sheer terror on the Ugnaught's face because this guy just took out some stormtroopers right in front of him. Oh. Anyway, Kanan's on the comms. He's like, "Are you going to make the rendezvous or not?" Right as four more troopers roll up and they're like, "Hey!" And Zeb says,
"It's possible I might be a little late."
"You're already late."
Yeah, so Zeb gives chase to the troopers. Zeb is running down a bunch of alleyways, and he ends up in a yard where there's a TIE fighter sitting there. Steph, this is the exact same yard, by the way, that we saw in the first episode of Rebels.
Right. Stop parking TIE fighters here, guys. Like, what the fuck?
So my general feedback with the Empire is that everything you're doing on Lothal is wrong, and you need to fix it.
You know what? Tarkin would agree with you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Zeb is running through. He jumps on top of the TIE fighter. Troopers are chasing him. They can't shoot worth a shit.
Because they're stormtroopers.
Yeah, I know. At one point, I have in my notes, Zeb Goomba's a trooper because he literally leaps off the top of a TIE fighter and lands on somebody's head. And I'm just like, oh, yep. My back. Oh,
yeah. Wait. He crushes one dude, knocks another one into the other dudes, another ding on the hits of motherfucker another ding, with another motherfucker.
And then Kanan calls in. He's like, "So are you fighting troopers?" And Zeb, who's not even breathing hard, may I add, just says, "What makes you say that?" And Kanan's like, "The screaming."
The blaster fire and the screaming, yeah.
So Kanan's like,
"Oh, that's great. You get lost in the middle of a mission and decide to start your own battle. Fuck it.
Didn't decide. It just happened."
And then, of course, there is a pilot in that TIE fighter who also gets fucked up. And the pilot gets knocked out first, but he gets back up and he calls reinforcements. And Heather, we've played tabletop role playing games set in dark horror settings where you call 911 because somebody's being murdered, and like you have to go through all the steps of like, okay, how many people are being murdered? Okay, blah blah. Right. And you're like, somebody's being murdered. Let me go through the process. So I'm feeling like the Imperial here is like, I need reinforcements, and the people on the other side are like, okay, well, how many? Just one. Are you sure? Just fucking get here. Just skip. I need reinforcements.
This poor panicky motherfucker.
Yeah,
I love it. It's good for him, I feel. Good for his journey.
And this pilot character model, I realized at this point, we see this model a lot too, just as often as we see the generic Imperial officer.
So with keep an eye out. On, I don't know that we've seen this face model before. Because you don't get somebody bright, bright blue eyes like that.
Often. Well, so do you remember the Academy episode? There were a bunch of, there was a shot where there were a bunch of pilots with their helmets on their sides walking by.
Oh, okay.
It's the same model. I did research on this, Heather, because I was like, good. This is short. I need to do something else with this.
I did not. I was like, this is short. Amazing. This is going to be the best episode to edit. I did like that while the TIE pilot is calling in reinforcements, you hear Kanan on the comms go,
Zeb, are you embarrassing the Imperials again?
Honestly, Kanan, it's hard not to.
It's true. I also love the bickering back and forth where Zeb's like, hey, I'm going to be late. And Kanan says, later. As yeah. in, you're already late, you're going to be later. Okay. But I do want to call out, you immediately get the relationship that Zeb and Kanan have in this whole exchange. Like, this bickering back and forth, but there's, like, this, like, underlying trust that Zeb is going to be okay.
Right,
He's in the line of danger. There. He's getting, like, by all odds and accounts, Zeb should be in a lot of danger, and Kanan's not even sweating it.
He's not even worried. He's more annoyed that Zeb is late.
Yeah.
But he's actually kind of cool with why Zeb is late at this point. So
yeah, yeah.
That's all.
So after the reinforcements show up, Zeb gets back up on the TIE fighter. And I know he's climbed and crawled before, but I've really never noticed how Zeb crawls like a spider.
Yeah, he's got the backwards legs and he's got paws.
Yeah.
So he's going to move differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have my notes. I would like for Zeb to crawl on me like that.
There you go. There you go. Absolutely. 100%. Yes.
Hot for Lasat.
So hot. Also, real quick to point out, he is fighting this whole time with his bow rifle.
Right.
So we're getting a really good look at that weapon and its effectiveness. Go on.
Yeah, yeah. Now he's murdering. Well, he's not murdering anybody. He's just beating the shit out of everybody with it.
And it's going so well.
This whole time the troopers have been shooting at him. They've been missing, but they've been hitting that TIE fighter a whole lot.
Uh-huh.
So much so that the fuselage at the bottom is exposed. Zeb notices this and goes, well, that's not good. And Kanan's like, what? And it's the only time Kanan is concerned, because Zeb actually says that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, you're going to have to get used to that reaction, buddy. When Zeb goes, uh-oh, you fucking run. And anyway, so the troopers blow up their own TIE fighter by accident. Some of them get hurt or die in the process.
Sure.
And there's like all this wonderful shot of all of this black smoke. The merchant guy walks up, Ugnok, and is like, is Zeb alive, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, Zeb walks out of the smoke. The merchant guy looks very happy, and he offers him the same credit that he was trying to bribe the trooper with.
Right.
Zeb says no, and I'm like, girl, come on, take the money. But he's a good person.
No, but he takes the fruit.
He takes the fruit. Yeah. And again, fruit is important.
Is that Jurgen fruit?
It's Jurgen fruit.
It's Jurgen fruit.
It is Jurgen fruit.
Oh, my God. Put that shit on a cake. Don't wash it or slice it or anything. Just put it on a cake.
Clone
Wars reference, everybody. Clone Wars.
Yep, yep. Go, if you're not familiar, go back to our Clone Wars episodes and listen to that shit. Zeb lets Kanan know he's going to be, he needs a pickup. And Kanan's like, yeah, we'll be on the way because there's all the smoke coming out. And Kanan's like, is that smoke you?
yeah, it is.
And that's it. Because it's short.
We do get one last shot. Zeb sees some more stormtroopers incoming while Kanan says, I'll just follow the smoke and come pick you up. And Zeb ignites his bow rifle again, gets a big sexy grin and says,
over here.
And it's hot.
Ugh.
It's hot.
My only disappointment with this short is that no time Zeb says Carabast.
That's true. That is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In our chat right now, because we're recording this live for patrons, Silver PG says, do we have a Jurgen fruit counter or fruit counter in general? Every time I'm on a podcast,
it's a ding on the
fruit
counter.
It's a ding on the fruit counter. Hey. Wait, I'm
but
sorry.
We're not a queer podcast.
We're not a queer podcast. Yeah.
Ask the haters. They'll tell you. We're not a queer podcast. The next and last, the final short that we will talk about, is Property of Ezra Bridger.
Before we jump into this one, if y'all haven't seen it yet, I'm sure most of y'all have, I've seen it shared in our Discord, you have got to find the video of the, I forgot his name now, the actor that played Ezra in Ahsoka and...
Iman Esfandi.
And yeah. And then what's her name? I'm not good with names right now. My caffeine's not, is weakening and I need more. But they were at a conference, or a convention rather, and they got stuck in an elevator and they did the whole stage. They did part of it.
Diana Lee and Asanto. Also, there's the video of Iman Esfandi and Diana Lee and Asanto stuck in an elevator, which is adorable. But from a previous con prior to that, it might have been an award show. No, it was at the Emmys. Where Ahsoka won some stuff, I think. Somebody won some stuff. Doesn't matter. There was an after party.
And right.
Diana Lee and Asanto has video of Iman Esfandi, the live-action actor for Ezra, dancing with Taylor Gray, the voice actor for Ezra. And
why would you do that to me?
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Taylor Gray at the time that Rebels was made. And so the Taylor Gray that you see in all of the interviews that I'm watching for research and stuff is very young. He is an infant to me. Okay. He's in his 20s.
Right.
And he looks younger because he's just got a baby face.
Right.
And so not hot to me, not hot. But right now he's 30, 31.
That's in my age range right there. Like and literally my cutoff age.
He's looking real good.
I know, right?
So that video, if y'all can find it, it is out there on the social media. That video is porn. Not really, but it is if you're me. Because it's just two beautiful men having a wonderful time with drinks in their hands. It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Love
10
that.
Out of 10. Do recommend. Okay. Getting back into this, into the Rebel shorts, shall we?
Sorry.
Nope. Good sidebar. Fun sidebar. But we're back. Property of Ezra Bridger is the final short. We hear whistling.
Yeah.
And the shot fades in on the boob mountain scattered Lothal Prairie.
God damn it, I have it on my notes. We need to stop painting. We need to stop sharing the same brain. Yeah.
Give me the brain cell back and we will.
Right? That one.
We're a little bit away from his tower.
Yeah.
See the tower in the distance.
And he's whistling his theme song, by the way.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, Ezra, if you know your own theme song, girl, that is some ego, and I love it.
That's some meta right there.
Yeah.
He's like, am I supposed to not know it? It's playing every time I do things.
Which I had the headcanon, so now if Star Wars characters know their own theme songs, is Vader like walking around the Star Destroyer going,
to himself? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. Okay. This shot was really fucking cool.
Right?
Because you hear a distant pew-pew, and he looks up at the sky, and there's the beautiful pastel Lothal cloud cover that's up there. But then it starts glowing because there's a goddamn firefight going on up in the sky. And I can't think of how many we have not. This is a rare angle.
Yeah.
For a Star Wars story to take is looking up at the star battle from the ground. That's really cool.
I agree.
And I feel like they were flexing because they were like, look, we can animate light from inside clouds. Do you know how hard it is to animate clouds and light? Just so you know.
It's one of the most expensive things to animate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a flex and good for them. I approve. Then the pew-pews and out from the clouds comes the ghost being chased by a TIE fighter.
God damn it.
Right?
And I have to headcanon that if you're a resident of Lothal, this is just what you're going to see all the time.
Yeah, this just happens. Everybody knows the ghost. Not a secret ship at all.
And why is it called a ghost?
Like, I get that you're supposed to be sneaky, but we see you. We see you all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But the locals seem to like them, so it's okay. Anyway, the ghost is being chased by the TIE fighter. They shoot the TIE fighter down. It's legitimately very cool.
Mm-hmm,
like this whole little chase sequence. The TIE fighter goes screaming down out of the sky and hits the ground. So, of course, Ezra rolls up on it.
And this is giving me Force Awakens vibes right now.
Right?
Yeah.
But also, Ezra, we don't know Ezra. So no. We don't know that he's not helpful.
Right.
So when he rolls up, he's like, oh my God, are you alive in there? Oh, you are. Okay, cool. I'm going to open up this TIE fighter. I'm here to help you. I'm so helpful. Helpy Helperton. That's me.
Yep.
The pilot inside is an asshole. And he's like, get your hands off of this fighter. It is the property of the Empire.
I'm like, dude, it's a smoldering wreckage. It's done.
Right. The Empire does not care about this piece of property anymore. I do believe this is the same TIE fighter pilot that Zeb kicked the shit out of earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Ezra hops down into the TIE fighter with the pilot, and he is on full Aladdin street rat mode right now.
Yeah, he's like taking shit. It happens so quick too. Like he takes a thing off the console, a 2B thing out of the back part. Random pieces.
Yeah, he's going on and on about, oh my god, I'm here to help you and stuff, and I've got all these questions I wanna ask you about your flight recorders and all of these things. And are you okay? And is this your helmet? What's all of this? He's just babbling along. It is all misdirection because he's a con artist. He's a pickpocket. And that's how con artists and pickpockets work. They distract you with other stuff so you don't see that they are stealing your shit.
Ezra has triple proficiency with his sleight of hand.
He knows it. He's a scoundrel.
I have in my notes, oh, this is the bullshit that Steph does to me when we play Baldur's Gate, except I'm the one that gets caught, even though I'm not doing it.
Yeah. What?
So?
It's not my fault you don't team up with Astarion ever.
Anyway,
we are going to be doing Baldur's Gate tomorrow night, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so he's asking them, like, why were you chasing that freighter? Were they smugglers? That's amazing. He takes some, like, tech thingies out of the cockpit, and he takes the dude's helmet.
Hmm.
Like, what? And he's like,
now remember, sir, no thank yous. Here, I'll take that. You didn't need my help. And besides,
I didn't come to help. Just came to score a little tech for the black market, you low rat.
And runs off. I love that.
Well, the pilot gets super pissed. He's like, oh, yeah. And I guess the weapon system still works. So he activates it, and you see the classic targeting system from A New Hope very briefly. And it looks like Ezra's going to get fucked up and blasted.
Right. Here's the thing. The TIE fighter's weapons are designed for ship-to-ship combat. Yeah. They're not designed for shooting one child.
And that's really fucked up.
This is a ding on the war crime counter.
Oh, yeah.
By the way.
Oh, yeah.
This right here. Because on Earth 1, where we live, it is a war crime to use it's a war crime to use weapons that are of sufficient caliber to only be shot at vehicles.
Yeah.
Against humans.
Right.
Like, you can't, if you are flying a jet, and on your jet you have 50 caliber rounds that are designed to shoot other jets, you're not allowed to shoot those at people. That is a war crime.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's nice. So this pilot just casually tries to commit a war crime and is shocked when he misses. That's the thing. These are not terribly accurate on small targets like a human child.
Well, the camera angle is that you see that Ezra has enough time to have a facial reaction, like he knows that something is coming, and he sidesteps the blast, which is our first hint that Ezra could be force sensitive.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I like it a lot.
And even the pilot says, that's impossible. I'm like, dude, you can't even aim. How is that impossible?
Right.
Your shit's broken.
So Ezra fires back with an electro slingshot thingy.
Yep.
Like you do. The first couple of shots hit the TIE canopy. They do nothing. But then he just leans back and arcs the last shot up and perfectly angles it to boop right down into the cockpit and stun the pilot. And then Ezra says,
this helmet is property of Ezra Bridger.
And puts it on and mock marches away towards his own tower, very pleased with himself.
End of the episode. That's it. What?
I really, really like these shorts. Not just because they were short, but they're such efficient.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that they really do with Rebels. We've commented on it before. Extremely efficient storytelling in Rebels because they got a lot of ground to cover and a lot of relationships to manage and 20 minutes to do it in each episode. So they were super efficient in showing us layout of the ships, the relationships between these characters, each character's capabilities, each character's attitude towards what it is that they're doing, all within 2 minutes. You know?
Yeah.
Fucking dope. It's so good. They're so good at storytelling with this series. So fucking good.
Well, That I don't know what else to talk about. It feels so short.
It is short, and that's fine. It's okay to only spend an hour talking about Star Wars.
That's weird. It's like,
it's okay.
This is our shortest episode ever.
Okay. So, do you have anything else for the Star Wars Rebels shorts?
No, but holy shit. As our chatter, Silver, is pointing out, we're going to be talking about Season 2. Specifically, we're going to be starting off with Siege of Lothal. Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god!
So, next time we will be talking about Star Wars Rebels Season 2, Episode 1, The Siege of Lothal, Part 1.
Yeah, that's a good sign.
It's never a good sign. You know what's also not a good sign? The thumbnail image for this episode.
Right? They just go right out and say it. Hey, Vader's in this episode.
Not just Vader's in it, but Vader is facing off with Kanan and Ezra.
Hate it.
I don't like it at all.
I don't like it at all. Yeah.
Trepidation. Anyway, so I think that's everything for today.
That's it.
Okay. Then we will, let's outro. Yeah. Shall we outro?
Yep.
You're right. This feels so, I feel like we have at least.
I know. I feel like we're missing something, but we're not. We're not.
That was everything. It was just short. Okay. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate that. We appreciate you. If you enjoyed the music at the top of the episode, you should. That was a delightful tune. It was a gift to the show by one of our listeners by the name of Chorlzy. He is a recording artist. You can find him and his music on social media as @CHORLSY. If you'd like to hang out with us in between episodes, you totally can. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, the artist formerly known as Twitter, and TikTok, currently as @DarkSideDivas. That may be subject to change as circumstances with our podcasts evolve. Stay tuned.
And if you haven't done so already, please subscribe to our podcast. You can find Dark Side Divas on any podcast platform that you like to use. We also have a YouTube channel. Also search for Dark Side Divas. You can subscribe there. We will do more stuff there. We're talking about different ideas right now, and we do play Baldur's Gate, and we publish the videos there, so definitely check that out. Shit's funny as hell. We also have a swag store, redbubble.com/officialdivas. You can buy t-shirts, stickers, mugs of our logos and the funny shit that we say. Oh shit, we need a new t-shirt too, Steph. Or logo.
I know. I'm working on it. I'm working on all the designs. It's okay.
Last but certainly not least, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/divaspodcast. For $5 a month, you can access special content. One of the awesomest Discord communities in the galaxy. And you can watch unedited video versions of our shows and even watch us record live. And you too can also watch Stephanie do really strange handgun gestures as she's talking.
Shut up! That's the double finger guns, baby. All the cool kids do. I hate you. All right, so are we done?
We're done.
Okay, then we say goodbye now. Bye!
Bye! We love you.